Right now, we've got on the line 12th District State Senator Brad Hawkins, who joins us on the phone. Good morning, Senator. How are you, sir?
Good morning, Ken. Doing well, and thank you so much for having me. It's good to connect with you via KOZI. That's awesome.
Where are you? Are you in Olympia or are you elsewhere?
No, I'm in East Wenatchee. It's been a very interesting start of the session this year because not only did I get sworn in by my local judges via Zoom, I actually was able to tuck my kids in last night and shovel my driveway this morning. So it's been the most bizarre start of the session, but the legislature basically adjusted its rules so that we can have a remote session. We're calling it a hybrid session in case we're able to get over to Olympia for a little bit, but most all of the work, including the committee meetings, the floor debates, the voting, the constituent meetings, it's all going to be almost entirely by Zoom this year.
Brad, correct me if I'm wrong, but you weren't in Olympia yesterday for the start of the session. I thought all members were supposed to convene in Olympia for day one.
Well, we coordinated our floor activities, and there was pretty much an understanding that the rules would be adjusted, and there were basically just those formality votes to get the rules in place to be able to conduct our remote work. Okay. And so I'm not sure if the House of Representatives was in session yesterday, fully, or if it was just some of the leadership. But we do have a joint legislative session today, but that's going to be all electronic through video conferencing. So it's an interesting process. I also have my wife working remotely downstairs, and my kids in online school across the hall. So as you can imagine, Ken, I'm competing for bandwidth with my family, but fortunately I'm hanging in there.
I bet. Yeah. So how are things going to work with this session here? You say it's going to be remote. There were some concerns yesterday about the public not being to be in person through this, and whether that will kind of stifle the public's interest and participation in the legislative process. Do you fear that happening?
I do fear that happening. I think, with any sort of technology, even like social media, it's a mixed bag. In some ways, the technology like social media and other things bring us closer together, but ironically, it also pulls us apart too because things are less personal. So it'll be interesting to see, for example, the public will not be able to be on the Capitol, be in the Senate chambers, be in the wings, the lobbying community and the activity of all that, and that will not be available. The grab your arm and kind of pull you aside, colleague to colleague, and have a real honest, candid conversation about some things. Where are you at on this bill? Where are you at on that amendment? Those conversations won't likely be happening. So it's going to be a whole new process. Also, the committee meetings are going to be handled all remotely, too. I have a bill scheduled for a committee hearing tomorrow morning. And my bill is actually going to be one of the first in the entire legislature for this session to be an all-remote testimony. We normally have a little bit of remote testimony in the Senate. We've been kind of experimenting with that in recent years. But, in some ways, I do think the public is unfortunately going to be limited in how they can participate. But in other ways, like the committee meetings, I'm actually excited and I'm hopeful that we have a lot of participation from people in Central and Eastern Washington. Because, Ken, I felt for a long time that Olympia and what goes on at the Capitol is disproportionately influenced by the people who live in close proximity to the Capitol in the greater Puget Sound region. So if we open that up, it'll be interesting to see how that all works out. Mm-hmm. The downside for this session for many people will be very few bills will likely make their way all the way through the process. The remote technology and everything, it's a pretty cumbersome process. I'm sure we'll get faster at it as we go, but I do expect, much fewer pieces of legislation moving through the process, which frankly for me, even though I have my individual bills as well, I'm actually excited because I felt for a long time that the legislature tries to squeeze in too much in a really short period of time, and it doesn't always lead to the best work products by legislators. So fewer bills, a more thoughtful discussion about each one, and more review of each one is probably a good thing for the people of the state of Washington. Mm-hmm.
8 o'clock here at KOZI AM and FM Chelan. We're talking about the legislative session, the opening of the session, with 12th District State Senator Brad Hawkins, who joins us on the phone from East Wenatchee. We'll get you the latest news from CBS after we're through with we have finished our conversation here. You mentioned that this is going to be a different type of session. It is supposed to be 105 days, but some lawmakers are saying, let's just do the absolute bare minimum of business that we need to do and then finish it. Do you agree with that, or you think it should go the full session?
Well, I think a lot of the lawmakers have all this pent-up frustration about for 11 months, Governor Inslee has been issuing a continuous set of sort of top-down Olympia-based executive orders and proclamations. It was interesting because the state constitution specifies when we can start each legislative session, and there's a really high threshold to call yourselves back into a special session unless the governor agrees to it. So what happened was the COVID pandemic was starting last year, just as the legislative session last session was ending. And so once we got out of session and adjourned and approved the budgets, well, then everything happened with COVID, and that's when the governor sprung to action with his executive orders. And so the legislators, House and Senate, Republicans and Democrats, have not been at the table to participate. We've asked to be called back into a special session for COVID response. It didn't happen. The governor wouldn't do it. So now that we're all in session, even though it's remote, we want to, you know, dive in and roll up our sleeves on COVID response. So some of the colleagues, at least in the Senate, we offered an option of, let's have a special session now. Let's dedicate the next 30 days for COVID, and then we can consider whether we want to approve the budgets and adjourn the whole entire session. That motion did not advance yesterday, so I expect 105 days will be focused on COVID, on budgets, and then also some additional policy bills.
Let's talk about, you mentioned COVID being issue number one. What are the things, what are you expecting to happen with COVID in the legislature? Let's talk about vaccines, with schools, with vaccinations, et cetera.
Well, you know, the reopening of schools has kind of been an interesting, I say that in quotes, because schools have basically been in operation the whole time. But early on last session, at the end of last session, right as COVID was breaking, the governor did issue some statewide emergency orders related to school closures, but ever since, most of the school decisions have been made by local school districts, and there's 295 different districts throughout the state in consultation with their local healthcare officials. And so every school district is doing a little something different based on the decisions and recommendations by their own superintendent and their locally elected school board. Well, now schools are looking to basically get more students in person for instruction. There's always been somewhat of a mix of in-person and online, but most of the students throughout the state, and certainly our region, have been online. So now with the push to get more students in the classroom, in the buildings, my thought is, I took a hard look at the governor and the Department of Health's guidance related to COVID vaccine distribution, which was just released, I think, last week. And I actually organized a letter just yesterday with the chairs of the House Education Committee and Senate Education Committee, which are Democrats, and then the Republican ranking members of both committees, of which I am one. And we sent a letter to the Department of Health and to the governor yesterday, urging him to allow all school employees to gain access to a vaccination if they want to, in February, as part of the next phase of vaccine distribution. Currently, the governor's plan would allow school employees over the age of 50 to get vaccinated. But as you can imagine, Ken, there's a huge number of school employees under the age of 50 that are now being asked to get back in the classroom. And that's welcome news for a lot of communities. We just feel like the educators that are providing and helping our state fulfill its paramount duty should have access to the vaccine in February as part of that phase 1B, I think it is, mm-hmm. because these school employees are not able to self-isolate like some of the rest of us who still have that option. So we should stand with our school employees, and we should help them get our schools reopened and help them get an opportunity to get vaccinated if they want to. Mm-hmm. So I think that's going to be big news here this week.
Okay. 8:05 here at KOZI and KOZI FM Chelan on the line with 12th District State Senator Brad Hawkins. Brad, you mentioned that you've got a bill on the hearings docket for tomorrow. Can you tell me about it? What's going to happen?
Yeah. It's Senate Bill 5000. It's a bill related to hydrogen vehicles. And basically the state has a sales tax incentive currently in place, and it's been in place for many years, for battery electric vehicles, plug-in electrics, and they don't emit carbon emissions. But hydrogen vehicles that are fuel cell electric vehicles are not driven currently in Washington, but they also are zero emission vehicles. And so my thought is, if the state is going to extend sales tax incentives to one type of technology, they should at least be technology neutral for hydrogen-based vehicles. And as you and the KOZI listeners might remember, a couple years ago, I sponsored a bill to allow our public utility districts to utilize their surplus hydropower electricity to help them produce hydrogen, which is a gas. Mm-hmm. And just down the road from you, pretty much, at the Wells Dam, mm-hmm. is where a lot of the electricity is going to be taken from to produce the hydrogen. And Douglas County PUD is starting a $20 million hydrogen production facility that should be completed at the end of this year. And if we get fueling stations, we'll be able to have hydrogen vehicles, hydrogen buses, maybe hydrogen semi-trucks for the short hauls between the orchard and the packing plants. And we could do a lot with hydrogen and continue to be leaders on clean energy right here in North Central Washington. So tomorrow morning at 8 a.m. before the Energy, Environment, and Technology Committee, my bill is getting a hearing, and we have some folks from Douglas PD, from the Chelan Douglas Transportation Council, from Toyota Motor Company, auto manufacturers, and others scheduled to participate tomorrow morning. So it's going to be exciting. 24 hours from now, I need to get ready for that.
Yeah. Is that hearing going to be available online? Well, it must be available online. So.
Yeah, I'm going to be available online through Zoom to provide my prime sponsor testimony. The people who are participating in the testimony will be available by Zoom. But to view the committee, that's on Television Washington, which is available online, tvw.org. If people go to that, they can watch all of the activities live, or they can watch it on demand later on. So there's going to be a lot of opportunities for people to participate and to monitor the legislative activities this session.
There we go. Anything else before I have to let you go? I know you're about down on time here.
Well, it's great to connect with you, Ken. Great to connect with the KOZI listeners. Just want to let everybody know my office is here to serve constituents, to serve the people who elect me. And if people have any questions throughout the legislative session, I encourage them to contact us or subscribe to my email newsletter. They could do both of those things at senatorbradhawkins.org, and we would welcome their thoughts, concerns, or feedback.
Brad, how's your dad?
He's doing pretty well.
Yeah.
I'm hoping he can get his vaccine here soon, mm-hmm. Because he's getting up there in age, and I know that's something he's focused on. But, I think it's been a challenging time for a lot of the families, people who are trying to do as best we can to keep apart. But, for people who are self-isolated, the older members of the community or some of the younger kids, like not able to connect with their friends at school, it's time to try to get back to normal. And I'm hopeful that in the next few months, we'll see some semblance of normalcy.
Is this going to be a first of weekly chats at this time, by the way?
Yes. Tuesday mornings around this time, 7:45-ish or 8 o'clock-ish, I'll be able to connect with the KOZI listeners. And it's a great way to keep everybody current and then also share some of the things that I'm hearing. But there's a lot of ways people can stay in touch with me. Like I mentioned, all my staff are working remotely, but we're still able to return phone calls and check our emails, and we have our staff meetings. So we're really trying hard this session, given the challenges, to maintain the same level of constituent customer service. So far, we're off to a good start, and I hope we're able to continue that for the people of the 12th District.
There you go. State Senator Brad Hawkins, I thank you for joining us. Best to you, and keep digging out the snow in East Wenatchee, huh?
Yeah, sounds great, Ken. Thanks so much.
Take it easy. Yeah. Bye now. Bye. Bye.